Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Difference of 2 seconds, the game clock and the shot clock.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime.
Jokic a screen, Murray to try to break the tie.
No timeout by the Lakers, they gotta go.
James, a bump, a feed, a print shot, no! Zero's on the clock, the Nuggets advance! They have won!
Kevin Harlan last night, along with Reggie Miller on the TNT call of another great playoff game between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Game 2 last week was one of the better postseason games played in recent years. Last night wasn't that far off. Jamal Murray, another game winner last week at the buzzer, last night with 3.6 seconds left, and the Lakers and LeBron are out, and the defending champion Denver Nuggets are moving on. Good morning, everybody. Denton's here. I am here. The show today will include at 11 a.m. the creator of RAS, the Raw Athletic Score. Washington's draft was ranked number one overall in the NFL based on this thing, this metric. And the creator of Raw Athletic Score, RAS, is Kent Lee Pratt. He'll be on with us at 11 a.m. I'm actually very interested to see what all of this has meant over the years. John Beck trained Jaden Daniels at one of those quarterback academies. He'll be on with us today. You'll hear from John Beck talking about what it was like to work with Jaden Daniels and what he thinks he will become in the NFL. Probably going to play that at about 12 noon. If you are marking it down here as the show begins. We'll talk big picture on Washington now that the offseason's two biggies, you know, the draft and free agency are now in the rear view. So we'll get to, you know, kind of a look ahead to 2024 now that we know pretty much what the roster will look like going to camp in late July. But I'm going to start with, man, last night was just another one of those. I don't care if you're an NBA fan or not. If you are a sports fan and you like high-level drama, you know, playoff drama, not projection, all right, but actual results and outcomes. Last night's Lakers-Nuggets game was, again, insane. In this series, which is now over, won by the Nuggets 4-1, in this series, I don't know if I've ever seen this. If you watched the 5 games in the series, you know how closely contested all of these games were, how good the Lakers actually were, how much Denver was tested. In this series, 165 minutes of the series, the Lakers had the lead. 19 minutes of the series, the score was tied. 56 minutes of the series, basically a third of the Lakers' time spent with the lead, Denver had the lead. And yet, they won the series 4-1. The level of shot making, the level of play, we didn't even talk yesterday, Denton, on the show. I don't think we talked much about it. If we did, it was barely. The shot making between Kyrie Irving and James Harden in Game 4 of the Clippers-Mavericks series on Sunday. But, man, I'm going to start with LeBron James. I've said this probably a half dozen times during the season and then as the playoffs started. I'm not sure LeBron's ever been better. He is bigger, stronger, to me, almost more athletic. Did he get tired in the, you know, mile-high air late in some of these games? Yeah, but everybody did. But I don't know, man. Watching LeBron, I'm not sure he's ever in his career been a better shooter. Statistically, he's never been a better three-point shooter in his career. Field goal percentage up there. Free throw percentage up there in terms of his career, although he missed a couple of key free throws last night. He became last night just the second player in NBA history to score 30 or more points in back-to-back NBA playoff games. The last guy and the only other guy to do it was Kareem. LeBron had 30. He had 11 assists. He had 9 rebounds. He had 4 steals. I've always been old school in my conversation about LeBron. No, sorry. It's Michael. It's Magic. In terms of the non-center conversation, LeBron's never had the killer, you know, gene that Kobe had, that Mike had, that Larry Bird had. LeBron is just spectacular to watch at 39 years old. I have... You know, this is going to sound strange because as a basketball fan, and many of you are, it's not that I'm just coming around to realizing the greatness of LeBron James, but there's a level of appreciation for him this season and in these 5 playoff games that I can remember having a few times. I do remember when they lost, you know, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in that series against Golden State that they ended up losing in 6 games. It was Golden State's first title, and LeBron was out there with a bunch of guys that really were NBA reserves or bench players, and he nearly carried a Cleveland on his back to a title. They lost in 6 games, and they were not the better team, but he was incredible. It was almost, though, that he had nothing to lose. In the moment, I always felt like during LeBron's career, when he had something to lose, when there was great pressure on him, especially early in his career, you go back to the Miami series against Dallas in the NBA Finals. Look, there's no other way to describe what happened in that series. He choked. He just flat out choked. He didn't want to touch the basketball. I mean, he was playing hot potato with the basketball. He didn't want to deal with the pressure that came with it, and they got beat by Dirk in Dallas, and, you know, he lost that series to Boston and Cleveland, where he really fell apart at the end of that series. And I think the breakthrough was when they were down 3-2 to the Celtics. This was the Rajon Rondo Celtics with, you know, just a few pieces, and they were big underdogs. And, you know, they went in there in Miami did in game 6 down 3-2, and he went for like 45 and 15 and 10 or something like that. And that was, you know, a breakout. I think that's 2012. I think that was 2012. And that was kind of the turnaround to say, okay, LeBron got over the hump in terms of winning a big game because of him. And he's won a lot of big games. I mean, clutch play from LeBron, understood, the last 10 years, you know, off the charts. But I just don't get it. I'm not suspicious. I'm not raising this because of any level of suspicion. Trust me. I think in today's, look, there are ways, to beat testing and things like that. But you look at LeBron's body, you look at his athleticism level, it may be at an all-time career high. He actually last night in the game settled for some threes late where they could not, on a lot of possessions, stop him from getting to the rim and dunking or laying it in. I mean, he played bully ball where there was no chance for Caldwell Pope to guard him or for anybody to guard him. He was great down the stretch, and he had to be because Anthony Davis got hurt again. Oh, my God. This guy. I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer. I get it. One of the all-time great talents. No doubt about it. This guy got literally barely knocked into the shoulder by Porter Jr. On a play that was very benign. I mean, there's so much more contact during the course of a game. And he went down like he had been shot. And then he stayed in the game, but he's rubbing his shoulder the entire... I mean, it's really too much. I bless his heart, he's just not a tough guy in the realm of professional athletes. He's very, very soft. You know, it's just who Anthony Davis, it's what he's been. He's a great player, one of the great defenders for somebody his size. He is elite in terms of his ability and his skill and his talent. They were playing 4-on-5 in the fourth quarter with him on the floor. I don't know why Darvin Ham didn't pull him out. I know that there weren't a lot of options. I'd have gone with Hayes. He did go with Hayes for a little while. I mean, they were playing 4-on-5. I mean, he was whimpering basically for a quarter and a half. It was really pathetic to watch. And the Lakers needed him. In fact, if he hadn't gotten his boo-boo, I think they would have won the game, and we'd be looking at a Game 6 in L.A. after they were down 3-0 with a team in the Lakers that actually played more minutes of in the lead and better basketball than Denver had. Were you up last night watching this, Denton?
No, I was fast asleep. I did watch it this morning, though.
Yeah. I mean, I feel badly for the guy because, look, it's not – toughness is innate. You know, it's not like you eventually become a tough guy when you haven't been your – you know, in terms of competitiveness and in an athletic world. Like, you're taught that or you work at it and you – it's just who he is. He's a sweet guy, I'm sure. Just watch the play. He claims that it was a stinger and he was numb, shoulder to hand, hand to neck, and they were working. I mean, we've seen this over the years time and time again. It just gets to be a bit much because you're like, oh, please, don't do this again. You're so good. They need you so badly. He had 16 in the first half. He had 1 point in the second half. It happened early in the third quarter. They were legitimately playing 4-on-5 offensively, and they still had a chance to win because of how great LeBron James, and by the way, I'll mention Austin Reeves was down the stretch. Now, on the other side, I mean, Nikola Jokic is just all-time great. You're missing out if you're not watching Nikola Jokic because he's going to go down as one of the greatest that's ever done it. One of the greatest big men that's ever lived, probably the most versatile big man that's ever played the game. He's only 29 years old. Another game last night, 25 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists. He did have a couple of crucial turnovers, and he missed a lot of threes last night for him. But Jamal Murray was insane. Jamal Murray was hurt. You know, he had, calf tightness and soreness, and he came out and was 13 of 28 and 5 of 10 from behind the arc and scored 32, including another game-winning shot. One of the true clutch playoff performers in the last few years was Jamal Murray. Michael Porter Jr. has been on fire shooting the basketball. I mean, any sort of open look. And Aaron Gordon had a massive offensive rebound like he did last week in the Game 2 win. But the game was spectacular. Just spectacular. And I can't say enough. By the way, for you Wizards fans, Rui's a good player. He just is, you know. If you didn't know this and you're just kind of paying attention now for the first time, Rui's been in the starting lineup. He's a good player for the Lakers. He would have been a good player here. I think he is happier being on the West Coast and, you know, being in an organization like the Lakers. But spectacular series. You know, I go back to what we talked about during the play-in round last week, Denton, in that, you know, I know that some of you are like, that's not what, you know, that's not what badass competitors do. They don't lose games. They don't sit in a play-in game. But the Lakers would have had, with the way they played against Denver, a really good chance to beat Oklahoma City, a very young team who just completed a sweep of New Orleans, but they did so without Zion Williamson playing with the playing for the Pelicans. They would have had a much better chance against OKC than they would have and did against the Nuggets. And they had a chance against the Nuggets. They had a better chance than I thought they would going in. 4-1 is the final series count. But again, every single one of these games, the Lakers had big leads in. I mean, big leads in. And LeBron James was just spectacular. Now, he his contract is up. He does have a one-year, you know, he's got a player option for next year, $51 million to stay in L.A., but he talked last night after the game that he doesn't know what he's going to do. I don't think that the Lakers can contend for a title with Anthony Davis having to be relied on over and over again. And they're going to have to add a big-time third piece. I was listening and reading this morning and then listening to some of the discussion. They're talking about Trae Young as a possibility from the Hawks. I don't know if that's what they need. He's just not a defender. And they struggled a little bit with perimeter defense with Reeves and Russell in particular. But they need something else. I don't know what it is. Somebody was suggesting this morning on one of the shows that I was watching that LeBron go to Golden State and team up with Steph and try, you know, this is the first playoffs since 2005, okay, that will not include LeBron, Steph, or Kevin Durant in the second round. It is a changing of the guard in the NBA. Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, by the way, the Minnesota-Denver series should be a great series. Yeah, the Minnesota Timberwolves with the next big thing in sports. It's actually already here in Anthony Edwards. Ant Edwards just should be a great series. Actually, what are the odds on that series, Dent? Look that up for me. Denver's not going to be as big of a favorite as we think, I don't think, although maybe it's the experience thing. Going to be interesting to watch those teams. They have to wait until Saturday because Minnesota swept Phoenix and Denver wins in five. I don't know why the NBA does that. Just start this thing on Wednesday night or Thursday.
How big
night.
Of a favorite do you think Denver is for the series? No points, just for the series.
Yeah. I'm going to be off on this because I think it should be tighter than it is, but I think they're going to get the experience respect. I'm going to say they're minus 210.
Insanely close. Minus 215.
Okay.
Minus 215, and Minnesota's plus 172.
Yeah. They have home court advantage. They've got the experience, and this league has proven year over year over year that young teams have to earn their stripes. They have to earn their way to a title, and it takes sometimes a couple of years of battling it out with the big bad, you know, defending champ, which is what Minnesota will do here in this particular round. I did want to mention one other thing for those of you that watched the game last night. There was with about 3 minutes to go, there was a foul call on Nikola Jokic got fouled going to the basket, and he got fouled, and they called a foul on the floor. There was, I think, about three and a half minutes to go in the game, and it was It was Davis who was actually guarding him. He grabbed his jersey from behind. He wrapped him around the neck and then contested the shot. And maybe on the contest of the shot, there wasn't a lot of contact, but there was some. But LeBron had complained about, you know, the challenges back in game two. And I think he set the table for this. And they challenged the call, and it was overturned. I thought it was a terrible overturn. I actually think the replay system in the NBA, going back to New York and getting these calls, that they've gotten so many of them wrong. I don't understand what they were looking at. With that said, you had to burn a timeout to challenge because it was their second challenge of the game. So they had no timeouts left over the final 3 minutes. And that led to the final sequence in which, you know, LeBron did get to the free throw line with about 26 seconds to go on a possession where maybe they should have gotten a shot up sooner and gotten a 2-for-1, knowing that they didn't have a timeout if, you know, Denver hit a late shot. But the 2-second shot clock differential, and then Murray made the 14-foot go-ahead to give them the lead 108-106 with 3.6 seconds left, and the Lakers didn't have a timeout. That's kind of bad management of the timeouts, understood, but the real issue is 3.6 seconds left. That's something that most teams at almost any level will practice. You know, what are you going to do? No timeouts left, you know, with 10 seconds left, with 6 seconds left, with 4 seconds, etc. And the Lakers clearly were unprepared for the moment. If they had been prepared for the moment, they didn't execute in the moment. The ball immediately went inbounds to LeBron in the backcourt, who was, at Denver, did the right thing. You pressure in that situation. You don't move back. You move up. You have somebody back safety-wise so that they can't throw over the top of the defense, but you make them catch it in the backcourt and launch something from the backcourt in that situation. But the Lakers, he then threw it to Prince, who heaved up a shot from half court at the buzzer that had no chance. I actually thought there was some contact on that shot. But beyond that, it was just a bad plan. I was surprised that Barkley and Kenny and Shaq and even the crew didn't talk about a little bit more how bad of a shot, last second shot with the series on the line the Lakers got. They look completely unprepared. You've got to have something, you know, planned. You know, you knew this with no timeouts left. There was a chance. That's something, you know, any basketball coach will tell you that has time with teams. You practice those game situation things. We got to go the length of the court with 5 seconds are left. What are we running here? And they just completely froze. They quickly threw it into LeBron in the backcourt. Jokic was all over him. He forced a pass to Prince, and Prince forced up a half-court shot. 3.6 seconds left. You can make a pass, you know, somewhere near half court, catch somebody on the run, and you can get to, you know, normal jump shot territory with 3.6 seconds left. You can throw the ball down the court, you know, and have somebody catch it, you know, in the front court and have a reasonable opportunity. I thought that was a terrible job by the Lakers there at the end. They just kind of resigned themselves to their fate after Murray hit another dagger. Great basketball game, though. I mean, totally worth it, for me anyway, to stay up until that thing was over. It's been worth it, you know, every single game in this series. And, you know, tonight you get another, you don't get a super late game. That comes tomorrow night back in L.A. with the Mavericks and the Clippers. But, I just can't say enough about how I don't know how many people agree with me. I've had this conversation with a few people like Legler and others, and he's like, yeah, definitely certain aspects of LeBron's game are better than it's ever been, but he's just bigger, stronger, better than he's ever been. There's no reason for LeBron to retire. None. If he still enjoys what he's doing. He's still one of the best players on the planet. All right, we'll talk Commanders next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
G from the shop. Kobe would not have tolerated Anthony Davis. I know. I hear you, and maybe that's a little bit of the difference between LeBron and Kobe and LeBron and Mike, but LeBron's is so good. So good. I just, when he went down like he had been shot by an AK-47, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It was a little bit of a bump. And but you know, if you've watched Anthony Davis, you know he's done at that point. He's done. And I have no idea if it was a legitimate injury or not. There's just this history of little boo-boos basically taking him out of games completely. They played 4-on-5 offensively for basically a quarter and a half with him on the floor. It was pathetic to watch. Great game, though. All right, so here we are. The NFL's offseason's two big events, free agency and the draft, are completed. You know, much of what an NFL roster will be when training camp begins about 3 months, right? 3 months. 3 months from today is August 1st, and usually camp starts the 28th, 29th, 30th, something like that. I looked at our lads this morning, you know, the depth chart thing. Great resource, by the way, for all of you if you ever want to look at it. It's, you know, always updated in real time in NFL teams' overall roster and their depth chart. Now, are they accurate with their depth chart? Not always. Certainly not this time of year. But Washington, according to our lads, has 92 players on their roster right now. You go to camp with 90, so that means two have to go before camp. But the point being is pretty much what you see now is what will be there when camp begins. This is going to be the 2024 roster. You know, they've added a significant number of new players. There's been a big roster, you know, turnover in a lot of the depth areas and some of the starting areas as well. You know, starter-wise and on offense, you've got, you know, Biotish and Allegretti and probably Zach Ertz and you know, that's on offense. I mean, certainly Austin Eckler is going to be a big, you know, a contributor. Jaden Daniels, four new starters on offense, definitively, right? Daniels, Ertz or Sinnott, right? Biotish, Allegretti, we think. There you go. I mean, that's four new starters on offense and, you know, you've got a lot of, you know, backup players as well. You've drafted Sinnott. You expect him as a second-round pick to make the team. Brandon Coleman, third-round pick, probably going to make the team. You've added Zaccheaus. You've added Luke McCaffrey. We'll see how that works out. Yeah, and there's a lot of other when you get further in the depth chart of new. Defensively, you know, Armstrong, Fowler, Farrell, Wagner, Luvu, and then you go to Chin. You know, you could potentially have somewhere around 4 to 6 new starters slash in the starting rotation, part of the rotation at those positions, especially up front. And then, you know, guys like Johnny Newton and Sanristil will play. You certainly would think they're going to play. So you've got, you know, not to mention special teams-wise, new long snapper, new kicker. Big roster turnover. There's still a lot of players that were on the roster last year that are going to be on the roster this year and are going to be called on to contribute in big ways. Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, looks like Cornelius Lucas, Sam Cosmi, Andrew Wiley, Brian Robinson Jr. You know, that's 6 right there offensively. Defensively, Duran, John up front, Jamin Davis, Benjamin St. Juice, Derek Forrest, Emmanuel Forbes, a guy like Percy Butler may be a big part of it. I'm still interested, and I don't think we're going to learn much between now and preseason games, probably preseason game number 2, about how they feel about some of the players that just barely started to get time last year. You know, and I'm referring to guys like KJ Henry and Andre Jones Jr. and Quan Martin and, you know, we don't know at this point what they think and how they feel about Emmanuel Forbes. I'm curious to know what they think of a guy like Trent Scott, who I thought when he played last year played okay. Chris Rodriguez, they added Eckler. Not the same kind of thing. Rodriguez is more of what we would think would be an early down replacement for Brian Robinson Jr. I loved Rodriguez last year. You know, a guy like Bates, he is right now among their tight ends. He is the blocking only tight end for the most part. You know, Eckler, when I think about their backfield, Eckler definitely plays on first down. I mean, he did in L.A., he did in San Diego, but, you know, I think they're looking at him as a little bit of the Antonio Gibson replacement, I guess. Who knows? I wonder, actually, if Austin Eckler can be on the field at the same time with a Brian Robinson Jr. or a Chris Rodriguez. It's going to be fun to watch Cliff Kingsbury, you know, work with what they have. I think, you know, as you think about this roster, clearly number one on the list in terms of what's going to look different is quarterback. You know, whether it's Marcus Mariota starting the opener or Jaden Daniels, and I would put money on Jaden Daniels starting the opener. Whichever one does it, it's going to be a big change at quarterback, and it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a bit of a patience game that we're going to have to play. I know it's been a long time since there's been anything resembling an NFL caliber, you know, contender or even mediocre team on the field. I mean, I say that in 2022, they were 7-5. So that gets exaggerated too. I totally understand and fess to that. It's going to be, you know, with a young rookie quarterback, there are going to be some growing pains. You know, we talked about this last year with Sam Howell. Rookie quarterbacks are rookie quarterbacks. Very rarely does it turn out like C.J. Stroud's rookie year turned out. So there will be some growing pains playing the rookie quarterback. And I think we have to assume that Jaden Daniels is going to play, if not right from the jump week one, he'll be in there within the first month of the season. I think it'll be week one, personally. Where this team has to have improved, and they've added a lot of bodies, and they've added you know, some compelling bodies. To me, Luvu and Chin fit that description. So does Bobby Wagner, even at his age. But you've also got a couple of guys like Quan Martin coming back that kind of showed they can play a little bit. But that side of the ball has to improve. It'd be hard to think that it could be worse than it was last year, especially with a Dan Quinn in the building, right? And a Witt Jr. in the building. You know, they have schemed up some pretty good defenses during their day in the NFL, and they've added some much more experienced in some cases and just flat out better players. What I want to ask right now at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, understanding that you now have pretty much the roster you're going to have. They could add another, you know, undrafted free agent. They could add another veteran free agent. They could add people after cutdown days when we get to late August, early September. But for the most part, the 90 that are going to camp are here now. They're here. What does this team look like to you in 2024? You know, I'll ask it very simply, but you can go into it in detail. How many games does it look like this roster could win in 2024? You know, Ben's been on this show a lot recently. He's on a lot anyway because I love having him on, and he's an insider for us, for the Commanders. But, you know, he and others, and I'm not knocking them for this because I think that this makes the most sense, have talked about how, you know, next year they're going to probably be, picking in the top 10 again. And that definitely, based on the Vegas odds, their over-under number, that's what they're favored to do. They're favored to finish with one of the five or six worst records in the NFL in 2024. What are you thinking, though, right now? How optimistic are you? I mean, what's this team look like to you in 2024? You can answer it by how many games do you think they can win. But really, I'm looking for, beyond that, what kind of team, you know, are you expecting next season? I'll give you my answer when we come back. We've got phone lines open, 301-230-0980. Denton will weigh in as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nationals pull off the sweep yesterday against the Miami Marlins. They take care of them 7-2. That's a four-game sweep, their first four-game win streak of the season. They're now sitting at 14-14. They continue their road sweep tonight. They're in Texas to take on the Rangers at 8. Celtics took a 3-1 lead over Miami with a 102-88 win yesterday. However, they lost Kristaps Porzingis in the process. He left the game with a calf injury that the team is fearing is related to the Achilles. OKC sweeps New Orleans 97-89. Jamal Murray's late-game heroics lift Denver over Los Angeles 108-106. That sets up a Denver versus Minnesota matchup in round two. Murray led all scores with 32. Jokic went for 25 points and 20 rebounds. And that's what's trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You know what's coming up in about a week or so? The NFL schedule release. So I will have schedule.
Whoa. I never brought this up with you because it wasn't the right place or time. Do you know an alarm that I got when I was on my trip in San Diego?
What?
It was a reminder that you said last year was your last mock schedule.
I know. I know that. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Thank you. Very little. I'm going to do it. I have wrestled with this. Lavero kind of convinced me to do this. He's like, it doesn't matter that everybody else does this now. You know, you can't bail, especially off your most successful year ever doing the mock schedule last year. I don't know if it was my most successful year ever, but I did nail Arizona at home in the opener. So next week at some point, mock schedule, I think. So what do you think now that we have the draft and free agency behind us? What do you think about 2024? I mean, simply put, how many games do you think they can win? But you can elaborate on that. Denton, how many games could they win next year and why?
I think when you first posed this topic to me, my initial response was, I think they will be in a position where they'll be drafting between 8 and 13. So not a bad team, but not a great team in the conversation for the postseason in December, at least mathematically, but then ended up not getting there. So I think there'll be a fun team. I think there'll be signs of things that we get really optimistic of by the end of this past season or by the end of this next season, but I don't think they are nearly where they want to be. So in that 8 to 13 range draft-wise, that's kind of where I think they'll be in the regular season.
By the way, there's a chance for a Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, you know, home opener, maybe a game in the 4 o'clock window on Fox opening day. Games in Landover. They play the Bears this year. You know, they have the last place schedule. That doesn't necessarily mean a lot because things change so much year in and year out, but they do play, you know, teams like the Carolina Panthers and the Tennessee Titans and the Cardinals on their schedule. I mean, this is going to really speak to my optimism over Jaden Daniels, and I'm going to be patient, don't get me wrong. I just think they've got a chance to be so much more dynamic right from the jump offensively. And with coaching alone, and the, you know, then you throw in the additions defensively, they can't be as bad as they were last year defensively. I think this is a team that could win 8 games next year. You know, you have next year is the NFC year in which you have 9 at home, 8 on the road. Washington's not playing, as far as we know, any of the international games. I think they could win 8 games next year. You know, you win 8 games and, you know, you're not out of it usually at Thanksgiving. It's kind of the goal around here every year. Just keep us in contention through Thanksgiving. I just think that this team looks roster-wise, coaching staff-wise, and every other-wise just more solid foundationally. I there's something that I think could lead to a much faster payoff. Maybe not in the form of a playoff game, but in the form of a team that wins twice as many games next year. They won 4 last year. I could see them winning twice as many. I could see them winning 8. What'd you say?
You're taking their over.
Yeah, but I took the over last year, too, and I was dead wrong. I understand. Last year, the prop bet thing didn't really work out. All right, let's get to the calls. 301-230-0980. We'll start with sort of an outsider, but a friend, Robert in Annapolis. Go ahead.
I was checking the lines. I don't think it's really moved much. You would know more about this. I've seen 6.5, 7, I think some 7.5. So, but let me ask you this question. What would you, Denton, and all your team's fans consider a successful season in terms of wins? Not in just being a competitive team. How many wins would you need to say, okay, yeah, we're on the right track? I was thinking 8 like you, that they certainly can win much more than 4, maybe double that. But, you know, the Cowboys and the Eagles may come back to the pack a little bit this year, so I don't know if the division is going to be as hard as it has been the last couple of years. But
that's an interesting question, and that is definitely a July-August question for the group. But let me answer it from my perspective right now, because I don't think it has anything to do with wins. For me, it's a successful season if it becomes obvious that they got it right at quarterback. That's the most important thing, is that Jaden Daniels looks like he might be the guy. Either he is, you know, it's definitely looking like he's the guy, or it's certainly leaning in that direction after 17 games as a rookie, that you look at it and say they got it right at number two. Or at least they didn't get it wrong at number two. And I think that's the most important thing. I mean, a lot of the other, you know, positions and, you know, signings and new bodies, those are important too. But none is more important than 2024 revealing that they got it right at quarterback. Or at least after a year, there's a strong feeling that they likely got it right at quarterback. That's a success for me. Now, you could say that winning more games would go hand in hand with that. I don't necessarily disagree with that, because I think his impact could be that great. So, you know, winning 7-8 games, you know, a lot more than they did last year, and then also realizing he's the guy, successful season. Thanks, Robert in Annapolis. Let's go to Chad in Nashville. Chad, go ahead.
Kevin, my man, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Chad?
So first I want to say, like, okay, us as Skins fans, you know, we're kind of used to this type of excitement, you know, almost every 3 or 4 years, you know? Like, we're always, seems like we're just getting a rebuild. So what I love that our new coach said was, no, we're not rebuilding, we're revamping. And that's what I'm more optimistic about. It's just the whole coaching staff, the whole energy. We don't have Freddy Krueger owning the team anymore, you know? And as far as, like, the draft goes, yeah, of course, you know, we're all excited. I agree with you. Like, you know, you can't judge the draft. But look how many players they add in free agency. Look at the draft that they did. You know, we finally have a GM. The energy around is great. You know, Jahan Dotson, what did he say? He said it feels like he got traded to another team almost. And that, to me, is,
you know, a lot of that last year, too, with the end of Snyder and the new ownership. There was a lot of very upbeat, very optimistic. By the way, super, super optimistic about Sam Howell. You know, a lot of that last offseason, too, just as a reminder.
Yeah, yes. But what I want to say is, I believe in recent years, I think the last five or ten, and I may be a little off, but I'm almost positive an average of almost six teams, new teams, have made the playoffs every year. I don't know how many years recently. You can look it up. So that tells me that just because it's a new coach, new quarterback, you added a bunch of players, you got rid of a bunch of players. In recent years, we've seen in the NFL that, hey, you can turn a team around pretty dang quickly, and just look at Houston last year. So, I mean, I agree with you. I could see 8 wins. As long as they are, you could see, wow, they took a big jump. Look how physical they are. Look at, you know, they got a lot of,
it's okay.
They're just very sound. They're very sound.
They've added a lot of contributors. And potentially in the draft, much more than contributors. I think even in free agency, when you look at a guy like Frankie Louvu, I think that he has star potential, or he's got, you know, upper echelon potential. He's already proven that in a bad, you know, situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it. Yeah, and you're right, by the way. Typically, on average, although I think the last couple of years may have brought that average down, but you know, if you go back to maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a stretch of like 15 to 20 years where the average number of playoff teams that weren't in the postseason a year before was basically like 6 to 7. And that's when you had 12 teams, or 5 to 6. And that's when you had 12 teams in the postseason. Let's go to Brian in Alexandria. Brian, what is your forecast for next year now that the roster pretty much is what we're going to have heading into training camp?
Hey, Kevin, here's what I think, and I can't put like a win total on it, but two things I want to point out. I think that when we're watching the games, overall, we're just going to see a more prepared team than we've seen, which is, I know it might not be the highest bar, but it's one as a fan that I'll appreciate after what we've been watching. And then the other thing is this. It seems like a recurring thing every offseason. We go into it and we say the same thing. We say the Commanders have several holes or a lot of holes that need to be filled. I count about 8 for this offseason. If we can go into next year with that number being chopped in half, meaning between the free agent signings and the draft picks that we selected, we watch them play, we see their production, their potential, if we can go into next offseason saying instead of maybe 8 to 10 spots need to be filled, maybe we're looking at 3 to 4 that need to be filled, I count that as a success.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to look at it. The funny part about that is that the areas in which you'll guess could be areas that they need to fill next offseason, it'll probably be much different than what you thought heading into the season. I mean, last year at this time, the thing that everybody was pretty much on board with, the consistent description of the team in 2023 was, should be a pretty good defensive team. You know, offensively, it's going to come down to the offensive line, and is Sam Howell, you know, good enough? But defensively, they should be able to keep him in games. It's the nature of the NFL. I mean, you think you've got it figured out, but you never do. It is, you know, it's not year to year. It's week to week, and things change dramatically. As far as we might get to next year and say the biggest need is actually wide receiver, or the biggest need is defensive tackle. You know, you just never know how it will play out over the course of a season. Let's go to Jason. Jason's calling from Omaha. Jason, how are you? Go ahead, sir. By the way, how were those tornadoes last week? That was Friday, oh, man, Saturday, whatever day. Those looked awesome. I mean, terrible. But, I mean, some of the video was just frightening.
I'm glad you asked about that. It literally was like 4 lights from where I live with a lot of damage. So we went out on Saturday and Sunday to just we took some pizza and we're kind of helping with some of the cleanup, but I'm glad you asked, man. That's good.
It was a massive story, and there was just so much video. I mean, were there any of those F5s or F4s that they looked like them?
Well, I'm not too sure on the scales and stuff like that, but they formed. It was quite a few that formed. I actually saw one with my own eyes. I didn't take a picture or video it, but they are pretty massive, man. It's much different than, you know, back to on the East Coast where it's just hurricanes, you know what I mean? But it really sounded like a train was coming at you. Like, that's how that stuff sounded. The hail was pretty big. But, everything's good on this end as far as that. But,
so what do you think about your team next year?
I am optimistic because these guys are new to us. I'm talking about Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. I guess I can piggyback off what the last caller said as far as filling the holes in our team. And like you said, it can change from all season to all season. But we got better because we got some players that were not picked by Ron Rivera and his staff. So I have to see these players in preseason. I saw Sam Howell in the preseason. I saw Carson Wentz in the preseason. Wentz, not too good. Sam showed us some stuff that could translate into the regular season. But until we see these guys actually compete, just judging the draft, I feel like teams in our division got better. I'll say team, but the Eagles, they have not missed on that one pick. So just comparing the two, and I know that's bad to do, but for us in our situation, I think we got some good quality players, but we have to see how it all pans out. As far as wins and losses, I don't want to put it over 7 because that's what our threshold was last year, and we got nowhere near that. So
Right.
I think the conference will be more competitive. If we can win close games, I'll say I see something different that I haven't seen in a while. But I have to wait and see. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm optimistic because
right.
JD is pretty good, but we have to see if he can rip those throws on third down, because I know we're going to be in a lot of them. So
yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, thanks for the call, Jason. Glad you're well. You know, one of the things about 2012 is that it was such a highly productive first and second down offense with a lot of the zone read and the presentation of potential zone read football. They were just incredibly productive on first and second down. So there wasn't a lot of requirement on third down. There's always some requirement on third down, but I remember Trent Dilfer, back when he was doing media back then, came on the show with Tommy and me and said it was the best first and second down offense he had ever seen in his years in the NFL or studying the NFL. They had the league on their heels, collective heels, in 2012, that's for sure. All right, up next, there's been a lot of discussion about raw athletic score, RAS. The inventor of it will join us when we return. Kevin Schiller, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.